First of all, welcome back to everybody. You guys in the back can hear me. With the lawnmowers in the back, guys in the Zoom can hear me. Thumbs up. Good. Okay, great. So very, very special welcome back to everybody as we embark upon a new Zaman. If at any church you can't hear me, you guys got to let me know. Otherwise, there's no way for me to monitor. Okay, as we embark upon a new Zaman together, a continuation of the learning of the Sugyos of Maseches Pesachim. I think maybe just to put things into the proper perspective as we continue to face many, many challenges, some more technical challenges, some more logistical challenges that we've been in the past. All right. I think there's a comment attributed to the Chafetz Chaim that Chafetz Chaim once commented that the Satan will allow a person to do a lot of things as long as they're not too important. Means the Sultan of a guy decides that he wants to, and no one should take this in a negative sense at all. Guy decides he wants to go to the mikveh every day. The Sultan will say, gay is a day, go to the mikveh every day. I'm not going to fight you on that one. Person's going to say, I want to wear gartel. Sultan will say, lach patli, wear gartel, what's the big deal? They're not going to make or break anything anyway. The minute that the person starts to learn Torah, then the Sultan realizes that's an all-out war. Because the minute that you learn Torah, so then that spells doom. So the Torah, even that Torah, is the greatest thing that we have. So again, no one should think this in any bad way. Lahavdil Aleph Alfei Alafim. You know, when Klai Yisrael have to maneuver and logistical things to daven, so we figured out how to daven properly with all the logistical problems. To have Hoshanis, we figured out how to social distance in Sukkahs, we figured that out. We figured out how to do a kapha standing in place. We figured that out also. The Sultan let us get away with all it. Those are little things. The minute we start to learn, so boom, all the king's horses, all the king's men come against us to fight us. It becomes very, very hard. Because that's where our koichus is really. That's Kehem Chayin V'Chamein. This is our greatest challenge. And this is ultimately where we have to rise to the challenge with flying colors. So right now, it's still very, very difficult. Many of you are still on a distance, and even the handful of us who are together, we're not even in our regular together location, and it's a little chilly outside, and we got lawnmowers in the back, and we got Wi-Fi complications, and my glasses are fogging up to the point that I can't see a thing in front of me. But the Baruch Hashem, Kihem Chayeinu, Baruch Hashem, B'tosh Shabbat, who needs Marvin Kermis anyway? So on that note, Rabbi said, we begin this Zman with full vigor and full force ahead. So the truth to be told is, we're not really learning a new sugya. We are learning, it's part of a whole series of sugyas that we spoke a little bit about before we broke for Yom Tov. And with all the sugyas that are revolving around, what do you do when you have certain sveikis? And particular sveikis, as relate to B'dikas Chometz. And the Gemara presented us with that original question, namely, just how much can we assume that people do what they're supposed to do? It's a general question that plagues us till this very day. How much do people follow rules? How much do people do what they're expected to do? Can we say Cheskas HaBaduk, or can we not feel comfortable saying Cheskas HaBaduk or not? So the Gemara was quick to point out, my nafkamina, just ask the guy with all the ramifications thereof of that question, and we spent so much time talking about that in the past. And then we spent so much time talking about, isn't this only derabbanan anyway? Why are we getting so worked up about the B'dikas Chometz? Everything's derabbanan anyway. But now we get to the third part of our global sugya. Zolzayin, even if it is, that's Cheskas HaBaduk. And even if there's a statistical probability that the person probably did do B'dikas Chometz like he's supposed to, does that really solve the problem? Can we really rely on that statistical probability? Isn't there something fundamentally problematic with that rov? And that's what's called the rov hatoli b'maisa. A rov that depends on an action taking place. And that's a whole different ballgame in terms of the sugyas of rov. If you remember from previous sugyas, many of the roves, really all the roves that we spoke about, were roves that revolved around certain biological truths, roves that revolved around certain psychological truths. Here, we're attempting to invoke the principle of rove that an action occurred. a robe that somebody did something, and that's a red flag. And we have a lot of work to do to try to figure out, should we follow such a robe? Should we not follow such a robe? Is that what the Gemara is actually telling us? What are the ramifications of a kind of a robe? Cheskas boduk, not a robe that rove animals are not treif, and not a robe that most women give birth in the ninth month, but and not a robe that most people wouldn't lie under such circumstances. A robe that somebody actually did an action, a robe of talibim ma'isa, is that a good robe or not? So as we all know, many sugyas begin and end in Masechet Bechoros, of course, especially if you're in Ashir. So Masechet Bechoros, Andaf Yutes Mebeis, the Mishnah addresses something, a case we spoke about already in the past. The Mishnah addresses the following scenario. I buy an animal from a non-Jew, a female animal, and I'm not quite sure whether this animal gave birth before. The non-Jew presumably doesn't have nemanos in this. This is, you couldn't apply Erechen and Bisurin because a non-Jew doesn't have any nemanos, doesn't have any edus. He's not in the parish. If the non-Jew tells you the food is kosher, that's not acceptable. So the mere fact that the non-Jew says that the animal has already given birth is not sufficient grounds to exempt me from a future mitzvah b'char. So what do I do? Can I assume that the animal probably did give birth and therefore there's no further requirement of b'char? Or do I have to be concerned maybe this animal has not yet given birth? And that's the subject of the whole beginning of the third parak of Maseches B'charis. So basically the Mishnah takes you to an array of different veterinarial considerations. Depending on how old the animal is, depending on what kind of an animal, how common is it the animals do give birth at young ages, etc. And finally, the Gemara tells us, if we go to the first of the Ramakomos, the Gemara says, "Mikavei lechamai sofek." You reach a certain point where it's a sofek. We don't really know. Halachach arei behemis, v'rei behemis b'sabas v'yeldu b'soch shnos enunu. Says the Gemara, the rov is that most animals do in fact become pregnant. And most animals do in fact give birth. And what happened to Haram Lahatas? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara goes through a whole long discussion. We spoke a little bit about the sug in the past. And basically the Gemara presents two different approaches in the Gedolei Amoraim as to how to live Shan this Mishnah. What happened to Rov? So two lines from the bottom. Elamaravam Bechavarita Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir Sevrilei Dechai Shlomi Yuta. According to Rav, the answer to the question is Inoch Inami. If you subscribe to Rov, then Rov will save the day here. And since the veterinarian statistics indicate that this animal probably did already give birth, we can rely on Rov no different than any other area of halacha. The only reason why the Mishnah here is ignoring Rov is because the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who ignores Rov. Now, we know this already from sugyas previously. Rabbi Meir is chayish lemiyuta. Now, just a quick reminder, that does not mean that Rabbi Meir denies the entire institution of Rov. We spoke in the past about Reuben de Issachamons and Reuben de Leissachamons. Rov, where all the pieces of the puzzle are in front of us, we're counting the Dayanim, we're counting the stores. We spoke about Reuben de Leissachamon, which is more of a statistical kind of Rov. Nobody really counted anything, it's just certain assumptions about the world around us. The Machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan in Maseches Yevamos was about a case, can a katan or a ketana do yibum? Do we have to be concerned with the outside chance that one of them may end up to be a Swiss or an islandess, and thereby being, in a sense, yibum shlovim mocha mitzvah, which of course would be an issa derais of arayis of eshesach? So Rabbi Meir was concerned with that miut, and the Chum denied the concern. The Chum were not worried about that miut. That is the machlekes revolving around a Reuben de Leissachamon, and that's the real machlekes remaining the Rabbanan. Rabbi Meir himself does subscribe to a Reuben de Issachamon, that is true. How did Rabbi Meir know to the friendship between the two? Either you accept Rov or you don't accept Rov. So this is a throwback to the Gemara in the first peck of Chulin. And the Gemara tells us in Chulin that Reuben de Issachamon is rooted in Psukim. Reuben de Issachamon is derived from Achrim Lahatus. Rova Dayonim, two Dayonim say one way, one Dayan says Fakarat. The fact that you follow Rov, that's a positive Chumash Haram Lahatis. That's not negotiable. Everyone accepts that. Then the Gemara goes one step further and says, that how do you know Reuben de Leissachamon exists? And the Gemara goes fishing for two blad and chulun to try to find the source in Chumash for Reuben de Leissachamon. when there is nothing in front of us, the Dayanim are not staring us in the face, it's a statistical type of a question. And after a two blot of attempted proofs, the Gemara runs into a brick wall and says there is no proof, there is no source. So what is the source, Ruba Delesa, come on, if there is no source? So Rashi throws his hands up and says one of two possibilities. Either it must be that we extrapolate Ruba Delesa, come on, from Ruba Deisa, come on. Even though at first the Gemara thought that that extrapolation was not accurate, but the Gemara must ultimately backtrack on that and assume that Ruba Delesa, come on, is in fact derived from Ruba Deisa, come on. Or maybe we have to fall back on our favorite three words, when no other source in Teshuvah B'Ksav, what do we call that? It must be Halacha Moshe Mesida. It must be there's some tradition that we have, Halacha Moshe Mesida, that Ruba Delesa, come on, exists, and it's not rooted in Sukkah. So in the end of the day, the Gemara concludes, Ruba Deisa, come on, is derived from Sukkim. Ruba Delesa, come on, is either derived from Sukkim extrapolation or from Halacha Moshe Mesida. And it's that second point that Rabbi Meir disagrees with. Either Rabbi Meir denies the existence of that Halacha Moshe Mesida, which would be somewhat troubling, or Rabbi Meir denies the extrapolation from Ruba Deisa come on to Ruba Delesa come on. So we're not quite sure what the longest of Rabbi Meir is, but we know that Rabbi Meir does not deny the very existence of Ruba Deisa come on. It's hard to argue with the Pasuk Chumash, but he does argue with the extension to Ruba Delesa come on. There is a Machlekes of Rishonim. Did Rabbi Meir even mean to argue on the level of Deraisa? Tosis in Maseches Chulin suggests that perhaps even Rabbi Meir never really argued mid deraisa. Maybe Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan are identical mid deraisa. They both subscribe to both Ruba Deisa commands and Ruba Delesa commands. The whole machlekes of Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan is a watered down machlekes on a level of the Rabbanan. Should we be chashin l'miyuta mid Rabbanan or not? We would be more comfortable with that. We would be much happier if in the perfect world of deraisas everybody agreed to the same basic rules. But other Rishonim question that. Other Rishonim, the Mordechai pokes the possibility that Rabbi Meir may really disagree even on a level of Deraisa. So again, we're not quite sure to what degree Rabbi Meir disagreed, but we know that he disagreed. That's a given. The Rabbi Meir was Cheshish Lemiyuta. We have that documented in the case of Yibum. And that's what Rava says. That's what's going on in the Mishnah Becharis as well. When the Mishnah says And the Mishnah says you can't rely on the Rov, Behemoth, Besabos, Vyoldos, that is only Rabbi Meir speaking. But in Ochanami, according to the Rabbanan, we would be able to rely on the Rov. And then the world changes entirely at the end of the Bar Makom. Ravina Amar, Afilu Teimer Rabbanan, Kiazli Rabbanan, Basaruba, Bruba Delo Tali B'maisa. Bruba Tali B'maisa Loi. Says Ravina, there's something wrong with this Rov. What's wrong with this Rov? It's a Rov HaTali B'maisa. Something has to have happened. What must have happened? The animals must have mated. And if the animals didn't mate, then the female animal did not become pregnant. If she didn't become pregnant, she didn't have a baby. Therefore, that's called the Rov HaTali B'maisa. And a Rov HaTali B'maisa is not acceptable. So that's where the Gemara ends. The Gemara never tells us why Rov HaTali B'maisa is no good. The Gemara never tells us, is this a Chumra Midirabanan for some strange reason? Is this a Did Midiraisa? Unclear. The Gemara never even tells us whether we paskin like Ravina or not, because after all, Rava disagreed. So we're kind of left hanging with the statement of Rav HaTali B'maisa. And if you believe that that's the final word of the Gemara, so then there is such a new klal in Hilchos Rav. Again, we have no reason why it should be so. So come a group of Acharonim and pose a challenge to our Gemara. How could the Gemara have a suffix whether Cheskas Abaduk or in Cheskas Abaduk? Even if it's Cheskas HaBaduk, why isn't that simply a Rov HaTali B'maisa? As a Rov HaTali B'maisa, it should not be acceptable. So again, assuming that Rov HaTali B'maisa is a problem, again, we have no idea why it's a problem, assuming it's a problem, so then we have to deal with this challenge. What's going on in that Gemara? So if I say, before we attempt to answer the question, it's always a good idea to make sure that the question is a valid question in the first place. It would be really sad if we spend so much time trying to answer a question that doesn't exist. So let's forget Agamar for a moment. Forget Maseches Pesachim, forget B'dikas Chametz. Let's enter into the world of Rov HaTali B'maisa, and let's challenge ourselves. Is Ravina the prevalent view? Is Ravina the stamma de Gemara? Is Ravina what the consensus view of Chazal is? Or Ravina was the lone man out here? Ravina was the one person who had this cheshbon. Rava had an equally valid pshat on the Mishnah. How do we think about Rava Tolda ben Maisa? If our take on Rava Tolda ben Maisa is going to be that Ravina was the lone person concerned with it, so we're going to be less concerned with Agamara. So we're just going to say, well, Agamara is not Ravina talking in Kol of the Day. But if Ravina is actually representative of mainstream, you know, Torah thought, so then we're going to take the question with utmost seriousness. So how would you go ahead and evaluate that? How could you make such a statement? Is Ravina indicative of the regular main, the main flow of Torah knowledge? Or is Ravina literally a Das Yochid? So as we've said time and time again, we go back to the laboratory, and the laboratory is Shas. We have to test Kola Terakula, we have to chaz all of Shas in our minds, and see what other Gemaras talk about Rava Tolda ben Maisa. So the answer is, there are no other Gemaras that talk about Rava Tolda ben Maisa, at least not in phraseology. But we have to now look in between the lines. Now we have to look about any Gemara in Shas that talks about Rav, and ask ourselves, is there something being indicated by this Rava Tolda ben Maisa? So now there are a lot of Gemaras that talk about Rav. There are Rav of Gemaras that talk about Rav. Loads and loads of Gemaras talk about Rav. So we're going to pick on one. It's a Gemara that we spoke about. And again, as I mentioned before, these are really three different sugyas. Three sugyas and achas. The way the calendar broke it up is that this third sugya was a hefsek of 2.5 weeks. But if you can already tell from the Mamakomos, this is clearly along the lines of everything we've been talking about for the last couple of sugyas. So let's just chaz it for a second. The famous Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Tesamen Aleph. Each shalach b'alam d'tzarasam d'tzayam. So a woman is sitting here in Tinek, and her husband and the tzara go on vacation. The tzara meaning the co-wife. So the husband and the co-wife go out to the ends of the earth. And then she gets a message. She gets a message that the husband died. So now the question is she's a kukaliv or not? So when the husband and the tzara left, the husband had no child that we knew of. So therefore, the starting point was this woman was a kukul yibum, was a kukul chalitza. The problem is, we don't know whether that's changed or not. If it has changed, and a baby had been born to this tzara somehow in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, so then this woman is no longer the kukul yibum. And as such, she cannot do yibum, because doing yibum, shlom mokha mitzvah, is in the sir derayis and gilirayis. On the other hand, we don't know for certain that the co-wife gave birth, so she would be chayavas and chalitza, she couldn't just get married. So the Mishnah says she's in a big pickle. She cannot get married and she cannot do Yibum. And as somebody pointed out to me right before Shir, isn't there an obvious question? Why doesn't she just do Chalitza to be on the safe side? So the Gemara talks about why that's not an option in this particular case. So the Mishnah concludes, she has to wait to get verification. Was the co-wife, did the Tzara become pregnant or not? That's the question. Shemu Beresi Tzarasa. So the Gemara presents a question. Bishlam Yevumeloi, to do Ma'abra v'kavagleishes ach derais. I understand why we can't just let her do Yibum just like that, because there is a good chance that the wife is pregnant or the wife had a baby already, and therefore there's no Zika. And if there's no Zika, then this is derais of Eishesach. Why in the world can't she get married? Halachach Rav Nashim. Rav Nashim is Abbas v'yoldus. Why can't we simply rely on Rov? And Rov women, we get pregnant. Most women have babies. So Gemara works really, really hard in trying to subscribe this Mishnah to who Rabbi Isaac to? Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And finally, the Gemara says, I'll tell you pshat in the Mishnah. Elam Rova, Reisha Chazak al Yibam Ruba Lashuk, the Chazak al Awadif Kiruba. The ice in the de mepila smach lechazak v'paga paga v'tzaslas yadim. Who's going to chaz? Who's going to tell me? Fill me in the gaps, everybody. Say, what does the Gemara say? That the reason why this woman cannot get married is because even though you have a rov, the odds are statistics point in the direction that the co-wife probably had a baby, but she has a cheska sister, and that's a huge problem because before the husband left on the trip, She was a chazaka. She was a medes to kach liibum. Now you have a clash between a rav and a chazaka. And we all know, what do you do when you have a clash between a rav and a chazaka? What state did the Gemara hear? No. What does the Gemara say? Palga, palga, smach with the chazaka. You combine together the miut of some women do not come pregnant. That joins forces with the chazaka, creates a sofek, palga, palga, and therefore lotin haseg. Ad kan divrei Gemara. So everybody said, before we even get to the part that's relevant for us, I just want to challenge you with a question. Do you think the facts Chazal just set up are correct? Can somebody please point to me to the Rav of the Chazaka? Tell me, identify, what's the Rav? No? Let's go on, a little input here. What's the Rav? Give me the Rav. Name me the Rav.
Sorry, Rav
Nashi Misavas Vihodos. Can someone tell me the Chazaka, please? The Chazaka is the husband didn't have children. What does that mean? And therefore she had a Chesk Esmaha?
She has to do
Yibam. She had a cheskes chiyav to do Yibam, right? So that means up until now we know she had a cheskes chiyav to do Yibam, and now we're questioning whether that has changed. Are those facts correct? Up until now she had a cheskes chiyav to do Yibam. Up until now her husband was what? Was alive. Last we checked in Chumash, her husband's alive, there's no mitzvah Yibam. So who is the Gemara kidding? What's the chazaka? So I stayed in the Gemara. They state in the Gemara that Chazaka, Chazaka liyibim. What's the Chazaka liyibim? Who's the Chazaka liyibim?
Is it Chazaka that she can't marry somebody else?
Oh, so Avi's giving me a very lumdish Chazaka here. 6 months ago, before this trip began, if she would have come to Beis Din and asked, Rabbi, can I get married to somebody else? So what would the answer have been? You can't marry somebody else, you're a what? You're an Ishidish. So the psach that was given to her in the past, the chazak was a cheskes issa to get married. Now, 6 months later, she's asking a totally different question. She's asking, Rabbi, can I get married? So we say to her, well, let's check the court record. 6 months ago, we told you you're not allowed to get married. So now we don't know whether that's changed. So we shtel off the cheskes issa. What's the problem, Rabbi say? 6 months ago, what was the shayla? No? The shayla was an Ishidish shayla. And she received the psak that she's not allowed to get married. 6 months later, we're not asking Ashish. The husband's dead. There's no suffering. We know the husband's dead. We have verification the husband's dead. So we're not asking Ashish Shaila. Now we're asking an Yevam Lashuk Shaila. So just because she has a cheskes iser of Ashish 6 months ago, why is that called the chazaka vis-a-vis the iser of Yevam Lashuk? So before you even read the Gemara, who has thought of that kasher? Okay, not before you read the Gemara. When you first read the Gemara. Who thought of that kasha? You're mixing and mash. You go from one chazak to the next. Yeah.
Can you just say like the rashi of the one that you
trained? Oh, tazoi. So this sounds very much in sync with Rashi's famous pshat in Maseches Chul. Who remembers? You have a suffix in shchita. When did we talk about this? Did we talk about this for Yontif? When did we talk about this? We just spoke about this, right?
Sure.
We have a suffix in shchita. What does the Gemara say? Rav Huna. Whenever you have a suffix, you know, cheskita, so what do? You always follow the cheskes issur. What was the cheskes issur? If I would ask that rabbi, can I take a bite out of this animal? What's the answer? No, why not? Why can't I take a bite out of the animal when it's alive? What's the name of the issur? Now, an hour later, the animal is definitely dead. The veterinarian, Kapaska, just signed the death certificate in this animal. The animal's dead, no shaila about it. We're just not sure whether the animal shechted or not. So now we have a new latest suffix called a suffix of Nissan Avela. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's called Cheskes Issur. The fact that it used to be a problem of Eva Menachai, and now it's a suffix of Avela, that's also called Cheskes Issur. How is that called Cheskes Issur? So Rashi has the famous phrase. What's the phrase we say B'das Rashi called what? Machzikin. We use this phrase before. Machzikin Yisrael Yisrael. Once the chazaka was established in one area of halacha, so when we pass it up the next area of halacha, we have a right to carry over that chazaka. Machzikin b'yisrael yisr. That's Rashi's understanding. So according to Rashi, that will make perfect sense here also. The chazaka was an isereshis ish. We have been down on the shayla of Yevam al-Ashok. The two isur have nothing to do with each other. But machzikin b'yisrael yisr. But who remembers? Tosfos disagreed with Rashi. Didn't we talk about this? Last year, oh my goodness, it's been so long. The years are just merging into one. That's what happens when you stop. You don't stop saying shir in the summer. Used to be I went there to show in the summer, so whatever ended, ended. YU ended, New York ended, New Jersey ended, and a whole new beginning. Now it's just one been morphed into one never-ending saga here. New? Last year's fellas. This year's fellas. Any fellas. Who's going to tell me? According to Taisvis, ain't machzik in miyasaliyah, sir. According to Tosfos, the fact that there was the Isser A, that has no impact on the Suffolk Lagabi Isser B. So that's what Tosfos had to make up a whole new story in Shechita. Who remembers? No one remembers? Oh, Tosfos said that whenever you eat an animal that wasn't shechted, in addition to the potential Isser of Eivim and Achai, if the animal's alive, in addition to the Isser and the veil of the animal was dead without a Shechita, there was always an Isser essay lurking in the background called an Isser She'ena Zavucha. The Torah says V'zavachta, implying that if you didn't shecht, you can't eat it. So in addition to, when I go ahead and I go to the store and I buy a piece of nevela meat, and I eat it, in addition to the malchus for nevela, I'm also violating the Yisrael of V'zavachta. If I go over to an animal and I bite off its arm, in addition to the Yisrael of Menachai, I'm also violating the Yisrael of Zavuch. Says Taisvis, vis-a-vis that Yisrael of Zavuch, there's a cheskes isser, because it's the same isser. It used to be included in isser she'en zavuch, and we have a suffix whether that isser she'en zavuch has changed. We shtel of chazaka that it hasn't changed. But vis-a-vis the isser of going from Eivim Menachai to Shechuta, Taisus is up. You wouldn't say machzikim isser. There's no such thing. You're only down on the isser itself. So the chor, according to Taisus, our Gemara is a pella. How can our Gemara in Yevam is Kuf Yates say that this is called a chazaka because she used to have a cheskes isser. She used to be a medes liyibum. It's poshut not true. She wasn't a medes liyibum. She was an eshes ish. Why should the isser of eshes ish continue on the pasket of suffering and huchas yivam l'shuk? Who thought of that kasha? Okay. Who was in Mashiach back in Maseches Kedushin?
Right.
Mr. Alter, you're in trouble. Who was back? Who was in the shiur back in Maseches Yevamos? I saw Usher online. Usher, you on the shiur somewhere? He was on for a minute ago. Mr. Alter, you were not around Yevamos days, right?
Okay. I wasn't around Yevamos either.
Usher, you weren't around Yevamos days. Who was around Yevamos days?
I listened online.
You listened online? Okay, so we're going to challenge you. So, in the 400-page kuntras that Ru Berman wrote up on the Maseches Yevamos notes, so tell me, what does it say? What's the answer to this question? According to Taisus, that Eimach Zikim Elias and Yisr, how can the Gemara jump from the Yisr Eishes Ish to the Yisr Eishes Ach? Yes, the Yisr Ramal Shachov. Sorry, yeah, yeah. Who has the answer?
Yisr Arayas.
Someone's got to mute themselves. Yeah, yeah. So much tumbling going on. Okay, yeah. Arayas not going to do the job. Who's going to tell me some unique relationship between the Yisr of Eishes Ish and the Yisr of Yavam
Lashuk? Can you say that the
merit
that the Eishes Ish was Zokak
Liyavim
from beforehand?
Close, we're getting there. David's getting there.
Rebbe, isn't just a lower form of the same Isser? Isn't that like the Chakir of Rebbe Chanan?
Oh! So Yesh, I don't know if it's related to Rebbe, it's related a little bit to Rebbe Chanan, but not directly. Whoever's not muted, you gotta mute. Okay, good. Yeah, do them a first when you learn Yavamis. What's the nature of the Yisr of Yavam Lashuk? Torah says, the husband died, the woman can't remarry. One could understand that in one of two ways. Either one could understand, the original marriage is over. You can't be married to a dead person. It's over. The Ishis is broken. She's not an Ishis anymore. There's a brand new Yisr Chadosh, Yesh Me'ayin, called Yavam Lashuk. It's like eating chazer. It's like Ren Shatnes. It's a lava the Torah, one of the many, many 365 lava Torah. It's not good Eishes Ish. It's a separate bazoom there is. Is that the pshat? Or no, it's not the pshat. The pshat is, Kolzman, that she's married, the husband is alive, she's an Eishes Ish. Normally the din is that Misa Baal is a matir. It's a mission of the Kiddushna base. So Misa Baal is a matir. Here the Torah says, when there's a Yevam Lashuk, when there's no child, and there's a brother, so the Isser Eishes Ish is not Nita Lagamre. It's true. She's not Chayevus Misa for being Mizani. Yavam Lashuk doesn't carry with it a Misa's base, and that's true. But the Isser Yavam Lashuk means that she's been Mitzah still married. And since she's b'mitzvah still married, so then the nature of the yisur, it's a mitigate, it's a smaller version, it's a weakened form of eishes ish. It's not an yisur b'fnei atzmai. It's a more subtle yisur of eishes ish, but it's still rooted in the yisur of eishes ish. If that's the case, that's rooted in the yisur of eishes ish, so then it makes a lot of sense that we paskin the Pilchus Chazaka 6 months ago that she was in eishes ish gemura. And now when we have a latest asafik ishiya yavam l'shuk, so we have to look at it through the window of, through the eyes, the lens of eishes ish, because it's basically an issa b'miktsis of eishes ish. So it's not like Rashi's machzik milas liyasi, you go from even a chai to nevela, even a chai and nevela, not doing each other. It's not exactly like Tesvus, that it's the identical list of Enezvucha, but it's somewhere in the middle, that Yavamu L'Shuk, the relationship between Yavamu L'Shuk and the Yisra Veshaz Ish, is close enough that we can view it as an extension of the original Yisra, vis-a-vis Paskin Abshaz in terms of Chazakas and Tzvekis. In case anyone's interested, just as an aside, even Al Atzad, that Yavamu L'Shuk is an Yisra Veshaz Ish, you could still, it's a Chakira, you could have a child. What do you mean by that? First, the Chakira is the Yavam L'Shuk an Issa Reishas Ish, or is it Nissa B'Fnei Atzmai? The Yimtum Tzolayim, it's an Issa Reishas Ish. What's the next Chakira? Name the Chakira's child?
Mamzer.
Name the Chakira. She's an Reishas Ish. B'miktsas, to who? Is she an Reishas Ish to the original husband? That the ishus of the original husband is not pukah. Normally, misabal is a matter of ishus, mafkir of ishus. Here, the Taz Bechadesh, the original ishus wasn't pukah. Or maybe the original ishus was pukah, but who she an ishus ish to? Who she married to? To the yavam. She's married by mixus to the yavam. So, again, if this whole chakir number two, is only shayach if one sadachir number one was correct. So for our purposes, the only way to explain this Gemara, according to Shita Zataisvus, is to keep up that ironclad relationship between the Isser Eishes Ish and the Isser of Yavam L'Shuk. Rabbi said, before we go back to our Gemara, we didn't even start yet. We got like a million things to talk about. This is just, the sugya has not even begun to explode yet. If I say, what do you think the Machlokes Rashi and Tosha depend upon? Machzik and Mislis. If I would ask you, why do you think, should you think the din should be yes, Machzik and Mislis like Rashi, or a Machzik and Mislis like Tosha's? What do you think logically the din should be?
Tosha's.
Okay?
A Machzik, it makes more sense. You shouldn't jump around from different cheskas.
I don't want to explain to me why. Oh, so Jeremy's starting the ball rolling. So I would use my favorite two words. Come on, guys, think of Rabbi Moshe Dimmerman, Rabbi Kushalevsky, Rabbi Osben. Come on, think of a. Before I enter, did we talk about this? Is Chazaka huh? Anagra Bira, right? What is the Chazaka that's heart and soul? Is Chazaka just simply Anhaga? A Chazaka doesn't make any sense in the sense of it doesn't, that's not corresponding to reality. It's in the halachic universe. I'm not minimizing the halachic universe as reality, but it doesn't correspond to statistics. It doesn't correspond to anything in Alam Hazeh. Adin, kacha, kach goz v'chach masecha, zoi shteit, chazoka meikara. Or is chazoka meikara more of a birur? Chazoka meikara is a mechanism that Torah gives us to get to the truth. The goal of a chazaka is to be mevar what the emes is, and it's more likely that things have remained the same rather than they've changed. If you hold that chazaka is a birur, that it's likely that things have changed the same, things have changed, have stayed the same, does that make sense when you're switching isurim? Could that make sense? I have to think about that a little bit. If you hold on Hoga is, if you hold on Chazaka is on Hoga, it doesn't have to make sense. It's just a Gzer Sikosa B'Alma. Could one argue that if the Issa number one was Chal, so then we could be Machzik from that Issa to the second Issa, because anyway, none of this makes sense. Or could we perhaps flip the Chakira totally, flip it totally around and say no? That if you hold that Chazaka is a Hanhaga, it's a Din, so then it has to stay in the same area of Din that it was. I can't jump from one din to another. This whole thing doesn't correspond to reality. But if all the chazaka is a birur, that things have stayed the same, so if the metzius has stayed the same, it doesn't matter that last month the nafkamina was the gabi iser X, and this month it's the gabi iser Y. The real question is, has the metzius changed? Has this woman had a baby or not? That's the real question. So we can play around, toy around with this chakir a little bit. Whether these shadows of Machzik and Mesliasa really relates to the more global question about Chazach is or is not. There's food for thought, but not for now. Everybody's getting back to our story. Getting back to our story. So where are we up to now, by saying? Our Gemara says in Yevamos that we have a rov clashing with the Chazaka, and therefore our hands are tied, and therefore the woman cannot get married. As I state in the Gemara. Now who remembers from before Yontif? Who has a problem with this statement in the Gemara? This is normal protocol when you have a clash between a rov and a chazaka? Really? Can someone fill me in on that, please? Isn't there a machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan? Who remembers the case? Do say one word, I know you're talking about it. What? The kid, the dough. Remember the case of the Issa, right? Who remembers from before Yom Tov? I have this dough. The dough has a cheskes hetech, cheskes tahara. I have babies who may have played with dead mice and dead lizards. I'm not sure. I have a rov that it's tamei. Chazaka, that's Tahar. Rabbi Meir says, sorry, it's Tamei. I'm sorry, the other way. Sorry. Rabbi Meir says, I'm sorry. Backtrack. Chum says, sorry, it's Tamei. Why? Rov, Tinoikis Betavchin, Cheskis Tara, Rubbe Chazaka, Rubbe Adif. And Rabbi Meir says, no. Smeich mitl Chazaka, Vishul Aruba, and therefore the dough remains Tahar. So I don't understand this Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yutes. The Gemara says, the reason why this woman cannot remarry is because Smeich mitl Chazaka, right? I understand if the Gemara is Rabbi Meir, but if the Gemara is the Rabbana Michael Meimar. So there's a three-way machlekes of Rishonim how to solve this problem. And it's how you solve this problem that Rabbi is going to set the stage for everything we want to know about Rav HaTalib and Maisa. And ultimately, depending on how you learn Yevamos Kuf Yutes, is going to impact on what you think Rav HaTalib and Maisa is or is not, which will ultimately come back to us in Sochem. So Rabbi said, let's see if we can connect the dots of this triangle right now. We're learning Pesachim Dav Dalet. That's what we're learning now. Yeshiva's learning Pesachim this year. It's a Mayid year. So we're learning Pesachim Dav Dalet, getting ready for the next Yom Tov already. We're a little early, but 6 months ahead is always good to prepare. So Pesachim Dav Dalet tells us that Alat Tzad, that Cheskos Abaduk, we're going to rely on that Rav that people check. So we raised the question, in light of the Gemara, B'chayr Estaf Yates, that Rav HaTalib B'Mayis is no good. How does that work? So we questioned our question by saying, well, who says that Rav HaTalib B'Maisa is no good? Let's analyze and see. So the Gemara that we're analyzing is Yevamos Daf Kuf Yutes. So we already ran into so many brick walls in this Gemara. We didn't even know about why this is a good chazaka, not a good chazaka, but we're going to trust Chazal now. I'm Munis Chacham right now. So Chazal told us that this is a rov against the chazaka Zolzayim. But now we're saying, so Zolzayim have a rov against the chazaka, so what? Why does that translate to mean that it's a suffix? But I'm to Rav Chazak Rav Adif, but I'm to Kedush Nafei. So a three Rav Machlek is to be showing him, and the answer to that question is going to set the stage for Pesachim Dav Dalet. So Rashi on the spot says that there's only one answer to this question. Why the Gemara and Yevamos Kuf Yutes combines the Miut and the Chazaka, the Issa L'Aruba? What's the answer? It's two words. What are the two words? It's a proper noun. What is it? What does Rashi say? Why does the Gemara combine the Miut and the Chazaka? Rabbi Meir, finished. End of discussion. Rashi says it. Rabbi Meir dechayesh the Miut. That this entire sugya mitchili v'atzayf is Rabbi Meir speaking. And in Achirami, it is not the Chachamim. And the Chachamim would never ever say such a thing. According to the view of the Chachamim, this is a perfectly legitimate rov, and as a rov, the woman can get married, mazel tov, without any questions, no hesitations whatsoever. As I state in Rashi, However, the Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban quotes two different reasons why they disagree with Rashi. We're going to go backwards. We're going to read the fifth of the Ramban Kermis first, where the Ramban quotes the name of Haigon. Rav Haigon says, I'll tell you why this Mishnah and this Sugya are the Chachamim also. But the Hedek Chacham hold that. Who's going to tell me? Who's going to fill me in? What changed according to Rav Haigon? Why in this Sugya do you not follow Rav? What's the answer? Anyone saw Rav Haigon? Didn't get that far? Okay, I got to share with you Rav Haigon says. Let's take a look. We'll read it together, the fifth of Rav Mekamis. Kach olav machshava belibi. The Ramban is referencing what he said earlier. At shebetzina b'shem v'ben haigayin zel. Derava aliba dekuliyam mukal masnisis. Unlike Rashi, Rashi's sitting in France in 1096. Crusaders are coming. Rashi's sitting in France in 1096. And look at the Gemara Yevamos. And look at the Gemara Yevamos. And he throws his hands up and says, how do I read this Gemara Yevamos? Isn't this the machlekes where Meir the Chacham? You know what Rashi says? Rashi finally puts on paper the following words. Rashi says, Ki Rebbe Meir, there's no way to resolve this Gemara in Yevamos like the Chachamim. The Gemara in Yevamos is Rebbe Meir speaking. That's Rashi's solution to the problem. And Rav Haigon, 100 years before, 20 years before, sitting in Bavel, sitting in the middle of Iraq, and asking the same question. Jews are sitting hundreds of miles away from each other, hundreds of years apart. Rav Haigon, some Rashi, and they're bothered with the same kash. It doesn't matter whether you're an Ashkenazi, you're a Sephardi, if you speak French, you speak Arabic, it doesn't matter where. Everyone's asked the same kasha. Everyone's bothered. This is the kasha of the early, of the Middle Ages. What's the kasha? The kasha is, how could the Gemara say, when you have a raiv against the chazaka, you ignore the raiv? What happened to Ruv and Chazaka? What happened to Chachamim? So Rashi gave one answer, if Haigon gave a different answer. Zavtid Haigon, Alib Dekuleyama Mukul Masif. The Mishnah's everybody. The Mishnah's not dependent right there. Diat Khan lo Omri Rabbonan Zilba Saruba Elabaruba Deleke Chazaka Kenegdai. When did the Chachamim follow Rav? When there's no Chazaka against it. Avalecha Diki Chazaka Samchinim Yitl Chazaka Valek Bang Bang Lo Shavinim Lo. Says Rav Haigon in a startling turnaround that the Chachamim do not follow Rav against the Chazaka. Who's going to jump and throw penalty markers all over the Steretz? Well, Isa, that's the case. That was the machlekes between Rav Meir and the Rabban. Rav Haigon knew that. That's why he was a goyin. Says Rav Haigon, the afak of the Hossam Amir Rabban. Where's Hossam? But Isa, Kiddush Tapay, Miyuta Kamanda Leise Dami, Ruchazach Uradif, Hachi Ka Amri. This is what the Chachamim meant to say to Rav Meir. Lo Choshiv Kulei Hai, Letzerufe Gabi Chazach Letaher, Ela Adai In Haroi Machuya Vitami. So what did Rav Haigon just say? What did Rabbi Meir say in the case of the Isa? Based on Smachim Chazaka, what did Rabbi Meir do? He was? The Kula is Matar the Isa. Rabbi Meir says Smachim Chazaka. And the Chacham took issue with that. The Chacham said, no way. You want to say Smachim Chazaka, the Kula? Forget it. On a level of Deraisa, Rubi Chazaka, Rubi Adif. But on a level of Derabonan, we concede that we're not so thrilled to follow Rovs against Chazakas. So with Deraisa, it's true, Rubi Chazaka, Rubi Adif. But with Derabonan, we're going to be Machmir. And therefore, in the case of the Isa, we're not going to use Smoke of Chazaka, the Taras Isa. And Yevamos, we will use Smokhul Chazaka to prohibit this woman from doing what? Do I say? From getting married. Even though she has a rov, because she has the miut, maybe the Tzara didn't even have a child, and she has a Chazaka that she was a Meretzekach L'Issam from 6 months ago. So we, the Rabbanan, concede to Rabbi Meir on a level of the Rabbanan called Smokhul Chazaka. Who remembers who we quoted this idea? This idea. Taizim Bechoros said this. Who remembers this sugya? Chalapaita, didn't we talk about this before? Chalapaita. By the milk, didn't we talk about this earlier this year, right? So this already had roots in Rav Haigon. So far we have two pshatim in the Gemara in Yevamos. Why the Gemara is not following Rav? One is, it's Rav Meir, Shalakadin, Or it's Rav Haigon's pshat that a chumim midi rabbanim. But the Ramban himself, unlike Rashi, unlike Rav Haigon, he's asking the same question. Where this question didn't end in France in the 1000s. It moved on to Spain 150-200 years later. The Hilling Ramban is sitting in Spain and thinking about the same kasha. Baruch Hashem, we're sitting in a tent in Tinek asking the same kasha, spanning the generations. What happened to Rav? What happened to Rav Chazak Rav Hadif? So take a look at the third of the Maamikam. It's Vinir Ali. Mishum diafo gav de maskara de sugi masir ramari. Ashkechon sugi acharite de matzil opa filo krabonon. Tisnaam maseches becheiris, Rabbi Shmuel Aimer, etc., etc., etc. Vivina Amma, we'll skip down a few lines. If you look there, Ramer, Kiazi, Rabbanu Bas, Ruben, Dolok, Tolim, Maisa, Ruben, Tolim, Maisa, Loi. Last line, the Ramban, Marmachal, number three, Vachinami, Ruben, Tolim, Maisa. Shemel, Abba, Allah, Ba'elach, Kishir, Risha, Hochum, Dinasayim. Was Dr. Ban, Rabbi, say? Was Dr. Heligar, Ramban? The rove in this sugya in Yevamos is a huge problem. There is a glaring deficiency in this rove. It's a rove atalim b'maisa. Because the only way for this woman to become pregnant and have a child is if the husband was ba'al leha. And therefore, that's a rove atalim b'maisa. That's a no-no. That's a flag down the plate. That's not a good rove. Ayin b'chayrus taf yates. That's the reason why the Gemara ignores rove in this sugya. Ad kan divi haraban. That was the Olam HaMachshava Lefana. That was the Ramban's first thought until he saw Rav Haigon. So basically, we have three Biurim now in Yevamos Kufitas. We were just looking at Yevamos Kufitas. We would conclude this year by saying we have three Biurim. What happened to Rav? Rashi said it only disappeared because the Mishnah is following Rav Meir. The Rav Haigon said it disappeared because of the Chumim and the Rabbanim. Even the Rabbanim don't buy into Rav against the Chazaka. And according to Ramban, it disappeared because of it's a Rav Atal B'maisa. Do Rabbi say, what conclusion should we draw from this machlekes that we shared? What is the nekudas of machlekes that everybody have in the Ramban? Why didn't Rashi say this? Why didn't Rav Haigon say this? Why didn't they think that this was a Rav Atal B'maisa? Why weren't they addressing the issue of Rav Atal B'maisa? What conclusion can we draw?
The Gemara never said that.
Oh, so textually the Gemara never said it, true, but conceptually the Ramban is right. So how come these other Rishonim are completely and totally ignoring that Gemara in Maseches Becheres? What conclusion should we walk away from? So the simplest conclusion is they ignored it because it's not true. Because Rav Atal B'maisa was one lone Amira Ravina tucked away in Becheres Taf Yates, never heard of from Brachas Tanid that anyone else raised that issue, Rav Atal B'maisa. And quite frankly, logically, does it really make any sense to you, Rav Atal B'maisa? I mean, come on, give me a break. Ask the statisticians. It's a rav. It's an 85% rav. In fact, it's about who cares about B'maisa. Why should that make the slightest bit of difference? So I can hear some Rishonim, Rashi, and Haigon saying, you know, we're not going to stick a Stam Gemara in Yevamos Kufitas to be Meshuba to a Das Yochid, the Heilige Gemara, as great as Ravina was, to stick a Stam of the Sugi, Yevamos Kufitas, into the world of a Rav Atal B'maisa. Nah, come on. Rav Atal B'maisa, who cares? No, nobody really cares about that. If that's your approach to Rashi and the Rav Haigon, then the same way that you have no qualms closing your eyes to the deficiencies of Rav Atal B'maisa, you don't really believe in it as being a problem, then what other Gemara will you equally have no qualms in ignoring Rav Atal B'maisa? No. Besides the Gemara in Yevamos Kufitas, what other Gemara will you be equally willing to just completely Pesachim Daf Dalet? If you can close your eyes in Yevamos Kufitas, why can't you close your eyes in Pesachim Daf Dalet? The same way that the Stam Shakal Vataria and Yevamos Kufitas didn't accept Rav Atal B'maisa as being a deficient Rav, so it's quite possible that the Stam of the Gemara in Pesachim also was not too worried about that. Very, very possible. Very, very possible.
Just another way you could say that the Rishonim don't bring up the Rav Atal B'maisa is isn't it like some sort of overkill? Because we kind of want the world to be here a little bit, and if you destroy the world completely, then why is it suffering? Because like Gemara is saying that you can't do Yibum, and you also can't get the marriage.
Right.
Like the robe is still there a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, I have to think about that. Okay, I hear Avi's point. I have to think about that a little bit.
Okay, I also say that Rashi and Rabbi go on the whole night Tosfos, so that they do, you can still say that it's universal, though, real quick with Maisa, but it's different by Adam and by Abraham.
Oh, okay, that's another choice. Okay, that's another option. All right? So, did I put that tithes in the Rabbi Kermis?
No.
I didn't put it on. I should have put it on. I forgot to put it on. Okay. Well, could one say no? Could one say that just because Rashi and Rahigon ignored Rav Tolle b'Maisa doesn't mean they ignored it entirely? It could be they ignored it in its application over here. It could be that for some deep, dark secret, they were of the opinion that Rav Tolle b'Maisa is a great concern. And it's a really good deficiency in a Rav. But it still doesn't play out in Yevamos. Because Yevamos, for some technical reason, happens not to be a Rav Tolle b'Maisa. Why not? The only way for the woman to have a baby is if she had relations with her husband, became pregnant. So not every Maisa qualifies the Rav Tolle b'Maisa. Zach was referencing. Taizen Yevamos actually poses the question. Taizen Yevamos, Kufi Yates, raises the question, how come Chazal didn't mention Rav Tolle b'Maisa here? And Taizen says that a woman becoming pregnant is not a Rav Tolle b'Maisa. An animal becoming pregnant is a Rav Tolle b'Maisa, not a woman becoming pregnant. My hype. So the anatomy, biology is the same. So Taiz explains the following. Rav Tolle b'Maisa has the connotation that there's some real, almost like thought out, well-planned action that has to happen. You have to put in the effort, and exert yourself to do a certain action. That's called the Rav Tolle b'Maisa. Animals, unless they're out totally in the wild by themselves, require the farmers to assist them in mating. I have to bring this animal from here to there. I got to get them together, corner them together, force them to mate, so to speak. That's called a Rav Tolle b'Maisa. And that's where Ravina said in Becheiros, that's a red flag in terms of Rav. A husband and wife are married. The fact that they're together, that's not a Rav Tolle b'Maisa. Kach yidak shalom. It's a davar shememela, says Taiz. Now again, obviously, there's a maisa, but since the davar shememela that occurs, it doesn't require this grandiose planning and action and exertion. That doesn't qualify as a Rav Tolle b'Maisa. And that's why the Gemara ignored it in Yevamos. If that is the case, if Rashi and Rav Haigon buy into Taiz's model, that the only reason why Rav Tolle b'Maisa doesn't make its grand appearance in Yevamos is not because Chazal weren't concerned with it, but because they didn't think that this was a good application of Rav Tolle b'Maisa. We just lost. We're just done. Wait, we're coming back. Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, everybody say. So don't worry, you didn't miss anything. We stopped right where we were up to. So again, so we have two ways of understanding why the Gedalia of Yeshayahu and Rashi and Rav Haigon are veering away from highlighting the deficiency of Rav Tolle b'Maisa. If the reason why they are not incorporating that into the sugya is because they just thought Geiris the whole thing, that Rav Tolle b'Maisa was just Ravina's idea, but nobody else really buys into it, but that would be great in terms of analyzing Psachim Davdal. That would make a lot of sense why it doesn't appear on Psachim Davdal either. But if you take the other approach, that Rashi and Haigon were not denying the deficiency of this robe, Rashi and Haigon was just simply saying that in this particular case of husbands and wives being together, that doesn't meet the halakhic criteria for Rav Tolle b'Maisa. If that's all that Rashi and Haigon were weary about, but Ikaron, a Rav Tolle b'Maisa, where the Maisa isn't a sufficient Maisa, it's a Maisa that has that exertion and that effort, so then, yes, we do buy into it. Everybody buys in. Everyone openly accepts Ravina. So that would leave us hanging once again on Maseches Pesachim, because B'dikas Chametz is definitely closer to animals mating than it is to husband and wife, because B'dikas Chametz takes an awful lot of effort, probably a lot more effort than mating your animals. And therefore, clearly, if anything should qualify as a Rav Tolle b'Maisa, B'dikas Chametz should be such. So basically, where are we up to? We are just beginning to appreciate the kasha of the Gedalia Acharonim. This is the kasha that for hundreds of years, everybody scratched their head trying to figure out what's the answer. What happened to Rav Tolle b'Maisa? So So before we were able to even begin to answer the question, we had to first identify, do we have a question on our hands or not? So according to some Rishon, we absolutely have a very, very powerful question. According to Rabban, we have a very, very significant question. According to Rashi Ramaygon, according to one possibility, maybe we have no question. Or maybe even according to Rashi of Haigon, we still have a question we have to contend with. So we're going to work for the assumption for the rest of the sugya is that this is a valid question. Either it's a valid question according to the Ramban, if it's only according to the Ramban, it's also worth it to spend time. To be Miyashiv, the Das, the Heliga Ramban, Milan, Gomer, Ramban. But since in our heart of hearts, we probably think that Rashi of Haigon probably holictosis anyway. And probably also a Geiris to some degree, the idea of Rabban Tolibimaisa. They may argue with the Ramban on the details, but Ikaron, there is a concern of Rabban Tolibimaisa. So then this question that we're about to pose, that Chavon posed, is relevant for Rashi, relevant for Haigon, relevant for the Ramban, relevant for Teish, relevant for everybody. What happens to the Dalit? Why do we get away with this Roy, v'cheskas abaduk? What happened to Rabban Tolibimaisa? Hopefully, Me'at Hashem, tomorrow, we're going to try to solve that problem. Assuming that we have a problem, that was today's goal was to prove that we have a problem. Tomorrow's goal, hopefully, is to try to come up with some possible solutions to that problem. So, Me'at Hashem, tomorrow, we'll try to pick up on this. Okay, good. Stop.